So I've talked about parts of making an effective presentation on this channel. Usually it's data, but this time it's about telling a good story. I know I can totally use that advice, and I'm looking forward to what I'm going to learn. And here we are on the HR Hub podcast with me, Andrea Adams. Keep listening to learn about this and anything related to HR. You can also find me on YouTube. So today my guest is Jillian Miani. Jillian is a speaking coach, and she has lots of great ideas. Her LinkedIn profile says she turns scientists and engineers into confident speakers and storytellers, and I'm 100% sure the rest of us could use this skill as well. She founded the Calgary Story Slam in 2012, or was that about right, 2012? And yeah. it's one of the biggest in Canada now. So she knows about stories. Hi, Jillian, how are you?
Hello. So nice to be here, Andrea.
Well, so nice to have you. I'm really excited about this one because I'm bad at telling stories.
What?
I totally am. Yes. Anyway, so that's why I like to be asking the questions. So I'm going to start, though, and with your background helping engineers and scientists, this will be probably an easy question for you. In an environment where it seems like data, everybody wants data. They want data, charts, and graphs. Why is storytelling important?
So there's several things. Number one, storytelling humanizes data. It helps us to put data in context and understand what it looks like in our day-to-day. More than that, though, I think even more important than that, storytelling, it is entertaining and motivating. So communicating purely with data, when you do that, you run the risk of making your audience have to work too hard in order to understand what you're trying to say. It's interesting. I'm often asked, one of the most common things I'm asked actually is, how can I be a more clear speaker? And I think we like to think of that in terms of vocal work, like pitch, pace, pause, projection, inflection, which all of that is very important. Also accent reduction, all of that, it has its place. But a big part of being more clear is actually just being easy to listen to, being entertaining. And that's what stories do. Stories are entertaining. The other part of it is that stories affect our emotions. And I know we all like to think we're highly logical creatures, you know, Vulcans making decisions purely based on information, but it's just not reality. We make decisions based on emotion, and stories carry emotion.
So in HR, we could rely on stories way too much because we're people. And we're often trying to convince people to act using stories. Yeah. Can you overuse stories? And if so, describe how.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yes, you can. I think there's several risks you run with a story. And the primary one being that it can dilute your point. If the point you're trying to make isn't backed with enough evidence, then you may not be convincing enough to your audience. Mm-hmm. The reality is, a story is an example. And so the reality is, like, if you're making a point purely with story, you may not be making a strong enough case. And I think really what we're talking about here is persuasive speaking or advocacy. In persuasive speaking, that you need both. You need story and you need evidence. Now, I'm not saying you can't be incredibly successful just with story. You can. We see examples of that all over in politics and advertising, just as an example. In a work environment, I think in most cases, the people you're speaking to want stronger evidence. Mm-hmm. And you want to be grounded in ethics. You want to be presenting really good, solid information, which means you need both story and data.
So it seems to me that, and you've already said this, that storytelling reaches people emotionally where data may not.
Yeah.
Is that manipulative?
Yes. Yes, it can be. Because what we're discussing, again, we're talking about persuasive speaking here. And yeah, like by its very nature, it can be manipulative. And so again, it comes back to, are you grounded in your ethics? I think about, like, let's take marketing again as an example where story is used to persuade. In that case, stories are often used to point out problems we have in our lives in order to convince us to buy something. Okay. And yeah, that is manipulative, straight up. In a workplace context, your motivation for telling a story is going to be very different. And you will have a very different set of ethics and values. My guess is that your, you know, I'm just going to draw some ethics out of there. Perhaps one of your ethics is science. So, you know, you believe in science. And so one of your big ethics is objectivity. Mm-hmm. What that means is that the way you tell your story will be less geared towards pulling on really strong emotions, more geared towards pulling on emotions that will help people make a clear decision. So curiosity, perhaps. Perhaps the main problem in your story is trying to find a solution for something that's really difficult. And so the problem in the beginning is frustration over this problem. So you're causing people to feel frustrated and curious and wondering. And then the resolution at the end of the story is excitement or energy or peace at having found a solution. That's really different than a story in marketing that is going to start out, you know, making you feel guilty or making you feel fear or making you feel anger, right? Like, those are the really strong emotions that are often used in marketing and politics. And the solution in the end of those stories is vote for me or buy this thing, right?
Yes.
So one of the most important questions for a storyteller to ask is, what am I trying to accomplish with the story?
Yeah.
And yeah, in a workplace, you often are trying to persuade people.
Mm-hmm.
And my guess is that usually you have a clear reason for trying to make that case. And that reason is backed in evidence.
There's, as you already said, there's a number of ways to use stories to improve your presentations. But
yeah,
tell us a few more tips, like when, how much storytelling should we, you know, put into our presentations?
Yeah. Really good question. Because there are so many ways, like there's endless ways.
Yeah.
And you could go on and on and on.
Yeah.
I like to think of it again. What is the function of this story? What is it accomplishing for me? And I have an acronym that I use for that. IDEA, IDEA. I is inspire, so stories to inspire. D, develop relationships. E, educate. A, advocate. I think that covers off more or less all the scenarios you would find yourself in the workplace where you would tell stories. So to put a few examples to that, let's say you're a leader and there's a major change that you're rolling out in the organization. Well, you're going to need to inspire people, right? So you might, when you give your presentation about this, you might tell a story that paints a vision for the future. Develop relationships. Let's say you're giving a presentation to a new group of stakeholders and they're from a different part of the organization than you. You need to build a relationship with them. So you might insert a very short story at the beginning of your presentation that gives them a bit of background about you or about your team and what you do. E, educate. I mean, this is probably the most common use case for stories in the workplace, where you're teaching a concept or introducing a new idea, and story has a very functional purpose here to help people comprehend the concept, illustrate, give an example, that kind of thing. I also think about succession planning and how much of passing down knowledge to new workers is about sharing stories. Well, 10 years ago, we tried blah, blah, blah. Like, that's a story, right?
Yeah.
And advocacy. So as we were talking about, like, a lot of stories in the workplace are persuasive. You're trying to build a case for more funding, more team members, introducing a new product, changing the organization in blah, blah, blah way. And there's a strong case here for the use of story to, for example, agitate the pain by pointing out the existing problem. We need to buy this new software because last week when this happened, this team had to spend 10 hours and work overtime, blah, blah, blah. Like, that's a story that illustrates the need for this solution. In that case, you really are selling. You're selling the idea.
Yeah.
Another example I love is this was a city utility that I worked with, and their utility had a long history. And I worked with someone who wanted to build pride, like a sense of team and community and pride. And so we worked together, and she crafted a story about the history of their team and the utility. And it was beautiful. It was something that really did build a sense of team and pride. There's so many ways. So many ways.
Yeah. Okay. So what is essential for making a story a good story?
The essential elements are conflict and structure. Like, I think that's what most story experts would say. A story is conflict. Think about Harry Potter. What would Harry Potter have been like if there had been no Lord Voldemort?
Okay.
It wouldn't have been, right?
Yeah.
So what's the problem? That's the first question. What's the problem? And structure is the other key element in story. So I think, you know, you're probably familiar with the expression beginning, middle, end. A story needs a beginning, a middle, and an end. And it's true. Another way of thinking about it, you know, I'm sure some of you listening in your language arts or English classes, you are familiar with the story arc. The plot line. Yeah. So rising tension, rise. Think of any Marvel movie you see where they have 10 climaxes, the tension, you know, there's an explosion, then there's another explosion, then there's another one.
Yeah.
The tension just keeps going up and up. And then the resolution. Now, I mean, I know that it's difficult to see your story along that kind of a plot line, and that's fine. You don't.
Right.
I think it's more helpful to think about problem and resolution.
Okay.
Another thing that is helpful to think about is, what's the problem I want to solve?
Okay.
The other thing in the workplace, it really is important that your story has a clear purpose. Because let's be honest, in the workplace, nobody has time to listen to a story just for the heck of it. So your listener wants to know that there's a reason I'm listening to this. And so it's important for you to be crystal clear on what the point is. And see if you can answer the question, what is the point of this story, in one sentence.
So much good stuff in here, even for HR, because we have the capacity to tell human stories.
Yeah.
But I think sometimes they're just, you know, what's the purpose of the story? We don't nail that part very, very well. Not always, anyway.
Sometimes when you're telling a first person story or a story, a human story, the story about, this problem, I as an individual experienced this problem.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it can be difficult to know what the point is. It's easy when, you know, I'm giving a presentation on Parkinson's disease and Parkinson's research, and I share a story about an individual who experienced this particular symptom, and that links back to new research.
Right?
That's easy. When you have a person who experienced something difficult and you know you need to share that story to carry that message to people who make decisions, it's a lot harder to get clear on the purpose. That doesn't mean that there isn't a purpose, and it doesn't mean the story isn't valuable or doesn't need to be told. Sometimes it just takes a bit longer to uncover that purpose. And like, truthfully, this is where the humanities and arts training, because to really that the an analysis of a story like that is very similar to like what you used to do in your language arts classes when you were analyzing a short story from like a literary great. Like it's a very similar analysis. And you as the teller, it's your job to simply make a decision. Because some of those human stories actually could have 5, 10 different purposes.
Absolutely.
And you simply need to make a decision. Mm-hmm. Because if you tell a story that has 5 different purposes, it will translate through as just confusion to your audience. Just like
literary student spells. What's the purpose of this? Right?
And so you need to come through with a crystal clear lens and make a clear decision so that you can deliver that purpose in one line at the end of the story.
Ah, okay.
That's what I do. Like, I help people find that clarity in their story.
Okay.
And I think sometimes there's real value in having an objective outsider helping you to make the tough decisions.
Right. Okay. Okay, so some of us, as I said at the beginning of this, are bad at telling stories. What advice do you have for those of us who are bad at it?
Yeah. First of all, give yourself a hug. No, I'm not kidding here. So many of us have internalized really negative feelings about our ability to communicate, particularly in a public setting. And, you know, like maybe you had a really bad experience giving a public presentation when you were 14. Maybe you had a really mean boss who was very critical of your presentations. I don't know. Maybe you were raised in a place where you didn't speak the native language and people made fun of you because of your accent. I don't know.
Right.
And all of that really can create a lot of insecurity and nervousness around speaking and presenting. So step one is to use a lot of grace and generosity, like give yourself a lot of grace and generosity. Now, the next thing is, come with me here. Think back, like last week or the week before, when you came home from work and you started talking to whoever was there. And maybe it was later on that evening when you called someone or you went out to hang out with your friends, whatever. And they said, so what'd you do today? What did you say?
Do you actually want me to answer that question?
You can think about it in your mind. You don't need to answer. Just think about it in your mind. And I challenge you to examine that and say, was there a problem? Was there a solution? Did I take my listener on a journey that illustrated something that happened?
You're saying no.
Nope, I didn't. I'm thinking about an example and I did not take my conversational partner on a journey.
Did you describe a series of events that happened?
Yes.
That's a story.
Okay.
Yep.
So the phrase take someone on a journey, I acknowledge that phrase comes with a connotation.
Mm-hmm.
My point is like we really do all tell stories. I mean, think about your last job interview.
Mm-hmm.
Did you give an example of a project you carried out in your last job interview?
Yes. Yes.
Because that's a story.
Yes.
That's a story. The question is not, am I or am I not a storyteller? The question is, what is my goal with storytelling? What do I want to accomplish?
Right.
And I invite you to get really clear on that. Because if you are thinking, I want to become Morgan Freeman, that's going to be a really discouraging goal. Because, like, can anyone compete? None of us can compete with Morgan Freeman, okay? So just be gentle with yourself and set a realistic goal. And start by knowing that you're already doing this. You really are. Then I invite you just to take little baby steps. So, because so far, it sounds like most of your storytelling has been, it's just happening regularly in your day. You're not doing it with intention. So then set a goal to tell a story with intention. Choose one very simple thing to share. And choose a really kind audience. Maybe it's a partner or a friend or a family member. And just say, like, hey, I want to try telling a story. Can you listen for 5 minutes? And tell a story and just see where it goes. The key really is to start and to try and to put some sort of like formality around it so that you put yourself in the hot seat a little bit, but in a gentle way where you're really safe and give it a go.
How do you tailor stories for different audiences? And I'm thinking about the work audiences. Maybe you're going to present to senior management who really like the data and the graphs and the charts versus presenting to your team, for example.
Spend some time thinking about your audience and their likes and dislikes. Like, go through a series of critical questions, thinking what sort of tone does this audience appreciate? What type of story will they respect? What have I seen work in the past with an audience?
Yes.
Like, even more important than those questions is the question, how much time do I have? And what's the point of this story?
Okay, final question here, because yes, this is so fascinating. I could talk about this for a long time. Okay, if someone wants to learn to do this better, what do you suggest?
Yeah,
I bet there's a lot of people out there who want to learn to do this better.
If you want to do this better, the most important thing you can start by doing is be more gentle to yourself.
Okay.
Learning to practice objectivity. So many of us are walking around life living with someone screaming in our head about, like, stop using filler words, right? Or those messages that you got from public speaking class in 1998. Shut it down. Shut those messages down. They're not helping you. That's step one. And hey, I acknowledge that identifying those messages and learning to tamp them down is really hard. And for some of you, it's not something you can do by yourself. And that's where someone like me comes in. That's when you give me a call and say, hey, I need help.
Right. Well, thanks, Julianne. This was just so refreshing. I'm thinking about the preparation that goes into a story, like so many other things in HR, being prepared and knowing the purpose, what are we trying to accomplish, applies to stories as well. However, we can't talk about it anymore. We have reached the end of this episode. Thanks for listening out there. We'll catch you next time when I talk with another insightful guest. And now I have to close the YouTube.